News Podcast. This is episode 56 for March 22nd, 2018. This podcast covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week. It's designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism at our email address, podcast@anarchistnews.org. For more information and usually good commentary, go to the nonsectariananarchistnews.org. Editorial: The Provocation of Identity. I've been around a classic Brit recently, one who mocks the U.S. continually, who rails against any identity label other than working class, and one who has no sense of humor about his own pet peeves. Of course, he's fun in other ways, but the discrepancy between what he thinks of the identity that he claims and what he thinks of other people's identities has reminded me of an ongoing frustration: how identity has become one of those overly loaded words with polarized defenders and detractors, and how both sides lose sight of what is helpful, interesting, and relevant about the concept. I came of political age among people who accepted leftist understandings of identity, and I worked with those folks for years. I now am surrounded by people who reject identity as a valid indicator of anything at all. So I feel somewhat qualified to say that both groups get it wrong, and that absolutely doesn't mean that I have an answer about what is right. Per usual, if I come to any clarity about this topic, it will be from gradually backing away from any of the options that I've experienced, all of which seem more limiting than helpful. Of course, I agree that racism and sexism and homophobia and classism and other isms exist and deeply constrain our lives. I wish that went without saying, as being too obvious for words. I also agree that there are abstractions involved with that way of looking at the problems facing us that are not always or even usually best served by the names those abstractions have been given. Feminism from the 70s promoted the anarchist idea that where we come from, our various influences, matter, that they place us in a way that matters, that makes a difference, and that placing ourselves in general rejects a universality that is patriarchal, centralized, disembodied, and authoritarian, aka, for example, God, the academy, the state, etc. But the words that we have to place ourselves have been mostly denatured, co-opted by politicians and other bad faith people who are, perhaps understandably, jockeying for power given some of the few tools they believe they have. But let us not get distracted by sympathy. The fact that identity gets hijacked and reformed into something to be used against us is, among other things, an indication of how powerful the concepts are. How we bond with other people, how we know how to bond with other people, only gets more and more significant, more and more emotionally laden, the more alienated we get. If the things that position us in relation to ourselves, to others, to the world are important, then perhaps one interesting or even exciting new direction could be, what are the influences that tend to get ignored in how we habitually think? If we accept that our juxtaposition is relevant, what are important ways that we don't recognize right now because we're blinded by the boxes that have been culturally accepted, expected, and assumed for all our lives? I hesitate to give an example because sometimes examples are more distracting than useful, but what if, for one beginning of an example, we positioned ourselves by how we're between boxes instead of inside them? What if we played something closer to Go than to chess? Week. Announcing another Carolina Anarchist Book Fair and call for submissions. Yes, the book fair with the best name is putting a call out for workshops, etc. Quote, do you have skills to help build the future we want to see? We want to offer a diverse and comprehensive range of activities that could include analysis and theory, models of organizing, anti-repression, environmental resistance, physical and community self-defense, technological offensive and defensive practices, abolition and transformative justice, and more. Unquote. Sounds like they're organizing a DIY conference as much as a book fair, but that's cool. I miss DIY.
Eduardo Colombo, 1929 to 2018, a grand anarchist fighter leaves us. From Robert Graham's anarchist weblog, subtitled Anarchism, a Documentary History of Libertarian Ideas. This is a reprint of a tribute to Colombo and a request for more of Colombo's pieces to be translated to English. Quote, His willingness to permanently engage thought and action led him to position himself as one of the most important theorists of contemporary anarchism, while participating in dozens of events at the internal level. Let me briefly mention examples of that tireless international activity. His participation as speaker in the Libertarian Days of Barcelona in 1977, his contribution to the organization of the Extraordinary International Anarchist Conference in Venice in 1984, and his interventions in the International Anarchist Gathering in Saint-Imier in 2012, unquote.
Genoa, Italy. Reed Telecommunications repeater up in flames, March 13, 2018. From anarija.info, a communique about an action against the increasing barriers between meat-space relations. Quote, perhaps because we consign ourselves to something we see as bigger than ourselves, perhaps because we are fed up with the unpleasant daily life imposed on us, the frivolous use of technology lightens up the day, or perhaps we even believe it's useful. One thing sure is that it is useful to the bosses. Above all else, technology and its equipment produce alienation. The emptiness derived from this mediation is functional to power for keeping its hold firmly on the reins. Not by chance, new apps such as UPaul turn frustrated citizens into guard dogs of power. The fact is that for one reason or another, we always have a screen in front of our eyes, big or small, according to preference. Unquote.
Italy, February 1st, 2018, locks glued at Benetton shops. From Act for Freedom Now, a communique in solidarity with all the things. Quote, on Monday, January 29th, from an anarchist, anti-speciesist, anti-authoritarian, and anti-capitalist position, we sabotaged two Benetton shops located in Ferrara, Italy, by gluing the locks of the shops. In solidarity with the Mapuches, who in Patagonia, for decades have been resisting the oppression of the corporation that since 1991 had taken away, creating many ecological and social problems, almost 1 million hectares of land from the Mapuches who had lived there for centuries, in harmony with Pachamama, Mother Earth. Unquote.
Santiago, Chile, anarchist compañero Juan Flores sentenced to 23 years. From Act for Freedom Now. Flores is found guilty of two criminal acts and loses civil suits by three people injured during the events. Quote, this is the first conviction under the anti-terrorist law for explosive attacks since the start of the criminal procedure reforms for more than two decades. The prosecution, after several attempts over the past 10 years to get a conviction under the anti-terrorist law through legal actions, had the said crime ratified by a court for the first time, legitimizing their judicial arsenal of emergency. Unquote.
Montreal, from hashtag HOMA to hashtag HamAunt. The secret is to round up your loser friends. From Act for Freedom Now, a thoroughly humble communique with a picture of black blockers holding a sign supporting Montreal's The Tower in the face of mad hate from normies based on an action from 2 weeks ago. Quote, when we heard that the tower got attacked, we had to show our love, not only because we love anarchist social centers, but because we also live in a city where, as far as we can tell, small hip business owners exist solely to steal your wages, fondle cops, and sell you overpriced shit sandwiches. Fuck the class traders, fuck the gentrifiers, fuck the police. But still no fucks at all given to broken windows. Imagine being so mad about another anarchist social center getting attacked that you round up your loser friends, cover your faces, and take a sick photo in solidarity. Unquote.
On the student walkouts, from 1st of May Anarchist Alliance, quote, we, young and old, straight up need to work alongside these brave young people toward building a movement geared toward social revolution and the destruction of patriarchy and white supremacy in the state, one that is strong enough to defend ourselves and our communities, unquote. This article is a blatant opportunistic move to exploit a topical event that has nothing to do with anti-state power or anti-capitalism. It's fine to be heartened in some entirely shallow way by the mere existence of resistance by young people, but to pretend it's any more than that is not only ridiculous, but extremely patronizing. Of course people resist.
French anarchist sabotage trial turns to farce. From RFI, a French mainstream news site. This is the continuing case of what used to be called the Tarnac Nine, so the article revisits that event. The arrests were in 2008. The headline is about the disrespect shown by Coupat, who was eating snacks in the courtroom, but the actual news is that the terrorism charge has been dropped, and the impact of the outing of the international mole, Mark Kennedy. Kennedy deserves to have at least one made-for-TV movie based on him. Quote, Kennedy has since told the media that he was used by the police forces of 22 countries, has declared that he has regrets over the role he played, and according to the Guardian newspaper, sued the police for manipulating him and failing to protect him from falling in love with one of his targets. Unquote.
Portugal. Viva Javier Recabarren, anarchist. From Contra Info. Well, shit. Another tribute to a dead anarchist, this one from Chile, killed by car. Quote, he roamed the streets of Santiago de Chile with full conviction of what he felt against a terrorist police, against a society that mistreats and tortures human beings and other animals. His deep revolt against the grids of cages and prisons arose directly from his heart. Wild and free, he wandered his brief anarchist life like a comet, bright with love and rebellion. Unquote.
Learning from our travels from freedomnews.org.uk. This is an aggressively upbeat article on the variety of skills and information we can learn from traveling. Probably because it is so very posy, it is also quite short. But that's okay. Sometimes all we need is a pointer. Quote, but despite all of us sharing the same general goals, liberation, solidarity, and all that, you can find different ways of working towards them wherever you go. If you cross a national border and meet with the anarchists there, you will find that they have entirely other methods of abolishing that border than your own group might. It makes sense, of course. Different environments require different tactics. But on my travels, I saw some things that might work just as well as Cologne as they do in Belfast or Barcelona. We simply hadn't thought of them before. Unquote.
Porto, Portugal. Invitation to Anarchist Encounter of the Book, May 4th through 6th. Quote, this aims to be a moment to share and exchange materials, experiences, and communication. Not only is it important to strengthen ties and create new forms of collaboration with each other, this meeting intends to be a place for the diffusion of our presence and our ideas, unquote. It has been decided that all anarchist book fairs will henceforth be known as Encounters of the Book.
Ping, ping, ping. The remand extension hearing of the Penza terrorists. From the RussianReader.com. By Yegor Skovoroda. This is another story of the horrible treatment of anarchist prisoners at the hands of Russian authorities. Quote, a broad-shouldered FSB guard escorts 25-year-old Dmitry Pchelentsev into the room, not taking his eyes off of him the entire hearing. Guards like him also escort the other detainees. Some of them wear balaclavas to conceal their identities. Some wear buff scarves over their faces. Viktor Filinkov, detained in Petersburg, and Pchelentsev himself recounted how they were tortured by men wearing such masks. Pchelentsev recalled how the officers who tortured him later escorted him to the remand prison. When I was tortured with electrical shocks, my mouth was full of crushed teeth due to the fact I gritted my teeth since the pain was strong, and I tore the frenulum of my tongue. My mouth was full of blood, and at some point one of my torturers stuck my sock in my mouth. Pchelentsev told his lawyer in order to explain why he had signed a confession. Soon after he was beaten again, Pchelentsev recanted his testimony about being tortured. Pchelentsev, who has thick, kinky eyebrows and slightly protruding ears, worked as a target practice instructor after serving in the army. He wears a checkered shirt whose collar he constantly buttons and unbuttons. Cautious at first, he thaws by the end of the hearing when he manages to chat with his wife Angelina through the glass of the so-called fish tank in which defendants are held during trials and hearings. Unquote.
Support political prisoner anarchist Evgeny Karakashev from Moscow Anarchist Black Cross. Quote, on February 1st, 2018, Evgeny Karakashev was detained by police officers in Yevpatoria.
We give up our ideological ties with work, or school, or the nuclear family, even if we continue to operate within those institutions for reasons of survival. What we are really doing is taking the concepts of activity and learning and home out of the profane context of capitalism and making them sacred to anarchy. What would it look like to sacrifice occultism? To sacrifice the very concept of sacrifice to anarchy. We aim to find out. We invite you to join us. Unquote.
Brazil, interview on the assassination of Marielle Franco from Black Rose Federation. An interview on the killing of Marielle, apparently a well-known black feminist socialist council member in Brazil. The interview is with a member of a Brazilian anarchist organization, but neither anarchist nor anarchism is mentioned once within it. Kind of what I would expect from Black Rose, really.
Several tortured anarchists flee Russia. From Freedom News. Mostly, this is briefly reporting stories of torture that we have reported on here before. To those who have or are simply trying to get out of Russia, best of luck to you.
No nation, no homeland, fire to the states. Salonika, 10th of March, 2018. Act for freedom now. Quote, later on the same night, dozens of comrades attacked with Molotovs simultaneously from two sides, the police forces that guard the Turkish consulate in Salonika. We are well aware that our main direct enemy is the Greek nation state, but the struggle for social liberation is global. By attacking the structures of the Turkish state, we send our solidarity to those fighting fascism and statism in Turkey and Central Middle East. Unquote. Greece!
Rome, Italy, some words from prison, but anarchist comrade Anna Beniamino. From Act for Freedom Now, quote, there's not much to be said about an episode of repression. After all, it's the simple cyclical occurrence of action and reaction, or even on how repression plays dirty, another well-known fact. At most, these are just a few notes on the development of techniques and strategies. Before any assessment, however, I simply want to reiterate my pride in anarchy and the anarchists who have allowed me to nourish myself on the solidarity of actions, written words, anger ricocheted behind the gates and from prison to prison, showing yet again how the anarchist tension is alive, topical, and capable of ridiculing categories and jumping over the obstacles that repression wants to impose, shaking off the burden of fear and the myth of consensus. Unquote. Writings by prisoners are frequently the most touching and inspiring. This is another one of those. Quote, I've also always thought that anarchy has the unquestionable privilege of being able to lean on a strong philosophical, historical, and cultural background, mixed with a primordial instinct for negation, elements that still continue to mingle spontaneously in effective, destructive recipes. Unquote. A woman I'd like to know.
Call for anarchist engagement with the student movement, March for Our Lives and Beyond. From It's Going Down. It's Going Activist. It's Going Opportunist. Quote, as momentum began to build, many began to strategize ways of engaging with the student demonstrations, hoping to connect with the more rebellious elements amongst the student body. Many of us watched and cheered over the last couple of days as students broke through fences, tore down an American flag, chanted against the police, showed resilience and solidarity when the police attempted to arrest and repress them, and even fought a pro-Trump student who attempted to disrupt their demonstration from within, unquote. I get the emotional response of feeling a spark when people are on the streets, but come on. Included is a riot porn video and multiple print-ready handouts of varying quality.
Canada. Unpopular anarchist thoughts, some reflections on the actions to oppose Faith Goldie at WLU. From North Shore Counter Info. This is a piece on a speaking event in Canada at a university by a known anti-immigrant alt-right speaker. The piece is not a report back, but brings up some of the things that happened as part of a tactical conversation. The strategy seems to remain firmly in the no-platform trajectory. Quote, a more militant crew who was masked up showed up at the rally. Many people, including those at the rally, seemed confused as to their purpose and intent. This is something anarchists commonly run up against, and we know very well that most of the time folks don't actually want to understand where we are coming from, and in some cases we might not at all be interested in having that discussion to begin with. But in this case, it just seemed a bit misplaced, and a sort of militant posturing that didn't seem to serve much of a purpose. Showing up with flags, masks, and your group banner might be a signal of support and where you are coming from, but it also needs to be placed into context. Is it useful for small crews to be the only folks masked up at a demo and actually potentially invite rather than limit confrontation? Some will say that masking up is simply folks being more conscious of the realities of doxing and alt-right backlash, and this is certainly important to consider. We all need to protect ourselves from these sorts of repression that are continually spreading against radicals of all stripes. But what does it mean to show up at a demo without having a discussion about what is going to be strategic? Unquote. I'm not saying the author is wrong here. I wasn't there or anything. But why does anarchist talk of strategy almost always seem to be a cover for watering stuff down and just getting along?
This anarchist browser plugin wants you to fight fascism on the internet. From Vice by Arvind Dilawar. This article gives Metropolitan Anarchist Coordinating Council credit for creating and spreading an app that helps people report bad, i.e. white supremacist, content on YouTube. Apparently gone are the days when anarchists understood that giving states and corporations tools to keep people from doing things will inevitably mean those tools are used against us. Oh, right. Who is us?
I won't lie to anyone I wouldn't punch. From Birds Before the Storm by Magpie. I like Magpie's writing in general. I appreciate that she's been around a while, grappling with many of the same issues that I work with, and coming to some of the same and some different resolutions. The similarities and the differences are both helpful. This particular piece on how honesty is good is not one of my favorites. While for a more social person, as Magpie is, it might help to articulate the benefits of honesty, since social lies are ubiquitous. As an antisocial person, my challenges are different. What is charming, though, is how the piece refutes its own premise at the end, even though it then reneges on its refutation. It could be called incoherence in this case, but it's Magpie's humility in the face of real life that continues to work for me about their writing. Quote, I have anxiety problems, to put it mildly. If someone I care about lies to me while I'm panicking to pull me out of that panic, that might be something I'd forgive them for. There are people in my life I would restrain from self-harm because I'd be willing to exert control over them in some specific and temporary circumstances. I don't know if that's right or if that's wrong, but it's something I'd be willing to do. Unquote.
Media. Beer and Rage, Episode 3, Bookshin at the Beach. 17 minutes. The host makes the odd choice to talk about Bookchin when he says at the start that he couldn't get to Bookchin's ideas because of Bookchin's hat choice, and then talks about the connection of Bookchin's ideas to Öcalan and Syria, etc., which the host also claims ignorance of. So where is he getting the information to speak about this stuff? He brings up a criticism of the term Bookchin coined, lifestyle anarchism, a term that people do still use today in the same dismissive way that Bookchin introduced it. This project continues to be a mildly amusing one, someone talking about stuff he seems to have a fingernail grip on, but perhaps this is the modern-day tactic for learning more. Maybe these days learning must be public to exist at all? He asks for feedback and suggestions and says he's lonely, so...
Canada, Montreal, March 15th. Anarchists clash with police. From some media. 1 minute of riot porn from Montreal, complete with French hip-hop. Quote, anarchists clash with cops during the march against police brutality. This was the 22nd installment of the march, and along with May Day, it's consistently one of the most militant demonstrations that takes place in Canada's in the Canadian city each year. People attack the cops with flagpoles and fire extinguishers filled with paint. Corporate stores and banks had their windows smashed, but the police managed to protect the studios of TVA, a right-wing TV network that published a fake news story that stoked anti-Muslim sentiments in Quebec City. The police violently charged at the crowd, seriously injuring one person and arresting three. Three cops were also injured. Unquote.
Podcasts. Anarchy Radio. An hour. Same old thing. There is a call from an adorable fan of Jay-Z's in San Francisco, excited about people knocking over automated cars. That's about it.
The Hot Wire, number 22, March 14th, 2018. 37 minutes. Headlines from actions of the past week, including burning cars in Berlin, etc. There is an interesting clip on the insurrectionary potential of refusing service to cops. It does suffer a bit from the whole, if only everyone would-itis, but that's hard to avoid. Also, Women's Day events, and so on.
Topic of the week. Students. Last week across the U.S., students walked out of their classes in protest of gun violence. While the demonstrations were largely aimed towards political reform, outside of the anarchist idea, being a student is something many anarchists are familiar with. This week we are taking a look at the students. What has been your experience as a student, or your thoughts on student life? What are your experiences and takeaways about organizing at the secondary and collegiate levels within educational institutions? Walkouts, strikes, occupations, clubs, papers, and student groups. How do we keep the conversation anarchist-oriented and the momentum rolling when everything else about being a student pushes against these ideas? How do we design anarchist material specifically directed towards the student? Or what are your favorite texts aimed at students, student publications, or current, former student groups? How long ago has it been since you've been a student?
I have been a student quite recently because I take university classes here and there.
Mm-hmm. But you work with students on a daily basis.
I do, K through 12, public schools.
What's your sense of how they feel about, like, this? Like, would they even understand this lens in their direction?
So right now I'm working with 12-year-olds, and they have a sense, in a sense. So when we explained to them, for instance, that last week there was going to be a walkout and it was student-led, they didn't know what a walkout was, but knew what a protest was, so we had to kind of explain.
Because of the Black Lives Matter protests, right?
Sure. So they have sort of a general concept from seeing things in the news or in the media, but they don't know what it means to them. And I think it was hard for 12-year-olds to picture themselves being part of that. And so then they were, and it went smoothly because teachers and other faculty just sort of chaperoned them right out.
Oh, really? So your school did walk out of the building?
Yep, all of the kids, except for a few who stayed back for one reason or another, by their choice.
And were signs made in the classes, or were there no signs at all?
The day before, kids who wanted to, mainly student leadership and their friends, I'm sure it was a little cliquish, but they kind of got together with some adults and made some posters and signs. So adults facilitated it heavily.
And what did the signs say?
They just said, "We stand against gun violence," kind of generic.
And the school district you work for has not had specific gun violence at it, but I assume the larger district next door has.
So the belief among the faculty and the way it was kind of presented when there was a faculty meeting, which was actually handled pretty well, I'm going to say, because the administrators left it wide open to teachers and community members to just say how they wanted to support the kids in a kid-friendly way. So anyway, kind of lost my train there. You asked
whether there's been gun violence in recent memory.
Yeah, so the way that it kind of gets talked about when the kids are not present is the kids are described by adults as having been exposed to a lot of gun violence in their lives. That's the understanding of the community that I work with.
But there hasn't specifically been a school
not
nearby.
Not in the schools.
Oh, that's interesting.
No. Although the kids do have I'll say some of the kids, I definitely wouldn't say
direct.
All of the kids, but some of the kids in our community have had direct or pretty close indirect experience with guns, like within their family or within their neighborhood.
Sure. Not so long ago, I think we were talking about whether or not you have walls around your neighborhood because you're rich or because you're trying to keep out gun violence, and obviously most of the walls you're familiar with or that are around your school are sort of to prevent bad things from coming in.
Yeah, it's interesting. They're not really walls protecting sort of what I think of as a suburban or country club, you know, side of town type neighborhoods at all. They're not really protecting wealth. They're protecting sort of middle class from lower middle class or poverty.
So in terms of students, so I guess when you describe the walkout, you're describing a teacher, maybe not teacher-centric, but like there was leadership.
So to be frank, what happened was the few days before it happened, we had that faculty meeting and a lot of ideas were put forward, and most of them were useful ideas. And one of those was to kind of get student leadership. Now, I'm saying this with air quotes.
Yeah, sure.
You can't see on the recording, because what they did was take some students that are in what you would think of as mainstream student leadership, like they're already kind of community leaders within the system, but they also sort of handpicked the kids that are have natural leadership that is not generally approved of by administration, and sort of invited them in as well.
Gave them something to do
and a way to not lead the kids up the street to the mall or the high school. because they're 12, you know. Uh-huh. So this is one of those things where I ride the fence a lot at work because the age of the kids that I'm with this year, there's a lot of days when I think I would have, and I've taught high school before, so there are a lot of days when I think something like this comes around and I would want to handle it differently, approach it differently, or talk about it differently with kids that are just 2 or 3 years older.
Sure.
I'm not a parent, but if I had a 12-year-old, I really don't want them walking off campus when I'm just at work and have no idea what they're doing. I think. I mean, I don't know. But so I do think that that probably represents, I feel like in saying that I'm fairly representing most of the teachers. I think most of the teachers wanted it to be kid-centered, wouldn't have like jumped in front of the kids, you know, like riot police, if the kids had all taken off down the street, there's 1,000 of them, you know, and a few of us. But I do think that the idea was, well, where are they going to go? Into the neighborhood to a house party? They're 11 and 12, 13, 14 at the highest.
I mean, obviously, the anarchist analysis of this is attenuated along these lines. On the one hand, an anarchist would say, well, if they really wanted to go to the mall, let them go to the mall.
For sure.
But, of course, the other side of an anarchist politic would say that if we want to be successful along anarchist lines in this issue, then we sort of need to play the politics a little bit.
Yeah, I hope I'm not cutting in. I do look back at myself. I did go to high school around Sacramento area, and it being the state capital, I can remember, just vaguely, I don't know what was going on, maybe a teacher strike or something, but I remember a couple times when I played hooky from school just to go downtown and protest at the Capitol building, because all my friends were, and I'm sure it went right over my head, I had no analysis, but you do a couple of things like that as a young person, and it does, I mean, I think that's one of the kinds of things that just developmentally help kids to start thinking bigger than their own neighborhood or themselves or their own circle. So, I mean, that's not radical at all, but it's just the same old argument that for some people, their path to a more radical set of choices in their life does go through just a kind of a mainstream liberal bunch of actions in the early years.
So clearly some anarchists attempted to intervene in this by putting out some provocative
I'm not handouts. Aware of all that. I've just been out of the loop.
No, that's fine. Yeah. I'm just asking you the question. Mm-hmm. If you were going to write a pamphlet, not as a teacher, mm-hmm. but as someone who was trying to intervene in this moment, what would that pamphlet look like? How would you try to reach these kids to have them head in a more radical direction?
Obviously find things that they care about and try to make the connection as sort of pseudo-personal as possible. But I have to say, I think I'm a medium to fine teacher mid-career, and I have trouble doing that every day just with like a simple math lesson or something. So connecting with youth is a whole thing. I can't say I'm excellent at it.
And do you think that there are teachers around you that are? Like, in other words, what's the difference between a teacher that is better at connecting?
You know, I think of my colleagues, the ones that I admire the most are the ones that are really able to make an on-the-spot connection and be really present and have a little bit of sense of humor and make, like, simple style jokes that kids can understand in the moment when they need it.
So it's not about taking selfies. It's
no,
by having a sense of humor.
And, you know, sometimes I just get too geeky or something, and I think, well, if people would write, like, a series of young adult novels that 12 mm-hmm. to 16-year-olds would read, like, in that kind of a genre that parents would actually buy, but that had a little bit different themes than a lot of these Harry sure. Potter and stuff, and then I'm like, well, that's dumb. Or I think, well, what if there were some better flashy websites or social media that's attractive to kids of these ages? And I'm like, well, that's dumb. I just don't have the answer. Sure. I want to have the answer. I don't have it.
Yeah, I mean, this is the problem with actually asking the question in this way, right? In other words, a lot of times our more politically oriented anarchists tend to see the crisis of the day or the news stories of the day as something to direct their next action. Mm-hmm. So obviously, for some people, they see the gun issue as being an opportunity, you know, to sort of inflict their same logic on a
sure.
new on a new situation. I mean, I guess, you know, when I think back to myself at that age, I was absolutely engaged with and interested in whatever counterculture I could find, and it was hard to find.
Right.
And so that's a really different world than we live in today, where if, like I recall, as a in that time frame, being very interested in the band Devo, which I could find very little information about. I only heard the radio songs, but somehow it triggered this amazing thing in me. Well, today, if I wanted to learn about Devo, every possible thing is out there. Yeah. I guess in the context of gun violence, you know, really that's a conversation. It's about safety, and it's about sort of how the world works. And the crazy thing about gun violence and the way in which it's being portrayed is that the world works in a non-rational way, as exemplified by gun violence.
I don't know. I think I avoid a lot of these conversations because I'm really hesitant to just impromptu kind of throw this out, but mm-hmm. just right off the top of my head, I don't think that gun violence is a main way that people die. I don't think that it's a main leading cause of death. I don't think it's the biggest problem.
And it's not actually as great as it was 30 years ago.
Yeah, I don't even think it should be shortlisted on the
But it's sensational.
It is sensational. It is sensational. I don't know. When I think about, you mentioned, well, you and I both are remembering how we grew up and friends that we had and things that were interesting to us. I think a lot about, I guess, what kind of falls under the umbrella of youth rights. And I think a lot about kids leaving high school earlier and having more options and those kinds of things. And not that there's any kind of real radical analysis I can pretend to have here, but I think those things are a bigger deal to me. The idea of just having more options.
And the majority of kids don't care about those options.
I think that a lot of kids I've taught would stop high school a couple years earlier mm-hmm. and do some kind of independent study or something on the side, but go get a job. But there aren't jobs. When I order a pizza, it's a middle-aged man who probably has 2 college degrees delivering that pizza. Hmm. That's my experience. Yeah, I mean, the baristas at a Starbucks, a lot of times, at least the supervising managers, are middle-aged, college-educated adults.
Sure.
I mean, just to, you know, I think that youths are competing for jobs, and I think that there are not enough educational options, and I think that it's a great idea to get rid of the style of education we have. I just don't know what the, I don't know what kind of things could happen in the interim, or, I mean, I don't know where I'm going with this. Because I want to have more radical to say about this, and I've thought about it for years, and I just don't. Everything comes out feeling like just a reformist set of ideas that could definitely happen in the next 5 or 10 years if they were said at the right council meeting.
Sure.
And, like, they're not really going to fix it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for having this conversation with me.
You're welcome. And I like you too much to see you get hurt, and that's why I say, if you spot a gun, just walk away. Go find an adult, go tell him what you found. Guns shouldn't be left lying around. Yeah, stop.
This podcast is the effort of many people. This week, the podcast was sound edited by Leno Mabel, written by Jackie, narrated by Chisel and a friend. The editorial was written by Chisel. We thank Aragorn and a friend for their help with the topic of the week. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. If they see a gun.